behind the mask, not only are we hiding from ourselves, but when we look at others, the mask they are wearing, called personality, is what we are seeing. We are judging them by what we see, instead of realizing that behind the mask of personality and stage costumes is the real self, or real identity, of the individual. The words you just heard are from page 77 in the 8th chapter of Joel's book, Living Between Two Worlds. He continues, "We look on one as Romeo and another as Juliet, one as Hamlet and one as Satan, never noticing that behind the masquerade there is an immortal being who was never born and will never die, and who is an individual manifestation of the divine." End of quote. That immortal being, never born, never dying, is you. And the mortal who began in time and will end in time is not you. And so Paul tells you to awaken from the mortal sleep, the mortal dream. Take off the mortal mask. Put on the garment of immortality. And Joel says on page 79, "It is not given to any of us to behold first the Christ of our own identity. That would be too intense an ego. So we behold it in someone other than ourselves, and then the light begins to dawn. God does not have just one son. With that realization, the vision broadens, and suddenly we realize all those in whom I have perceived the Christ, Jesus, John, Paul, or Gautama the Buddha, were all men as I am, until realization came and the Christ was made evident. That brings the Christ alive in us, and we can say, ah, I too." To remove the mask of mortality in exchange for spiritual immortality, to live behind the mask, is the most exciting and most rewarding way of life known to man. At times it seems like a bewildering hall of mirrors which demands devotion in the face of frustration, determination in the face of repeated failures, and faith that your inner guide is always on the job. And there are many masks, not one. Your five senses keep out more light than they let in. And as your immortality is hidden by the mask of mortality, spirit is also hidden by the mask of flesh. And then, perhaps most deceptive of all, is the mask of time. God is one. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God does not change. The life of God, appearing as Enoch, Moses, Jesus, John, is the same life now appearing in our world as rich man, poor man, saint or sinner, male or female. Although God is one, the universal mask of time divides human life into three parts: past, present, and future. Each of the three parts, not one or two or three, but each of the three parts is a lie, concealing the God life that is indivisible and immortal. Your mortal life yesterday lies in dead time. You cannot rewrite a single line of it. Your mortal life in future time is beyond your reach. And your mortal life is passing into dead time even as you experience it. The sad truth is that mortal life diminishes every day, in spite of the fact that the life of God is always 100% alive. What's then the daily loss of your life? Is the finite quality of all mortal life. And that is because all mortals are cut off from the fullness of divine substance, living superficially in passing fragments of time. Mortals never are whole, never complete. Their identities are always misrepresented. Their deeds are always diluted by time. And their energies are always adulterated by the counterfeit texture of mortal existence in time. The scope of this mass hypnosis by time is monumental. And the most deadly result is that time automatically limits man to a dying self. Time robs man of his eternal life. It traps man into a false aging process, and it causes all forms inside time to perish. So effectively has time concealed the real man and the real universe that most mortals on earth today are fighting the wrong enemy. To give you a glimpse of how humans are imprisoned in time, Let's try a simple experiment. In your room, find a small object. Oh, a paper clip, a letter opener, a pencil, or a book. Now grasp the object in one hand. And now move that object into tomorrow. Sounds strange? Perhaps you run a bank. Perhaps you build skyscrapers. For you, those are responsibilities that you can easily discharge. But moving a paper clip or a book or a pencil into tomorrow is beyond your power. All right, try it another way. Suppose you move that paper clip, pencil, or book into yesterday. Here again. You run up against an invisible obstacle. No matter how resourceful or determined you are, you cannot move a small object into yesterday or into tomorrow. And the reason is that time has divided all mortal life into past, present, and future. Ah, you say, no one can do that. But before you begin to think that it's impossible, let me remind you that Christ Jesus could move heavier objects than paper clips out of time. With his soul. Think back. He climbed on a ship at sea. Instantly, with no lapse of time, the ship was on the shore. What was his secret? Jesus revealed two kinds of time. One the world knows about, one the world does not know about. He revealed mortal time, which conceals the source of life. But he also revealed God time, which has no past, no present, and no future, because it is always now. Mortal time is a man-made invention, a counterfeit. Like your five senses, mortal time shuts out more than it lets in. It separates man from God. It separates man from infinity, from eternity, from omnipresence. It separates man from Christ, Spirit, soul, soul body, eternal life, perfection, divine law, divine supply, divine harmony, divine freedom, wholeness, substance, identity, and oneness with divine consciousness. Yes, time does all that. Time also makes man vulnerable to sickness, to age, to pain, and to death. Time denies man the power of Christ. And literally, time kills the human race. Christ Jesus revealed the eternal nowness of God. The eternal nowness of God time. And he demonstrated that life behind the mask of mortal time is now perfect. Never sick, never aging, never dying. In consciousness, he lifted the dead out of time. And we called it raising the dead. He touched an invisible substance outside time. And we called it multiplying loaves and fishes. Step by step, he introduced the secret of God's eternal now to his disciples. Lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. To the spiritually alert, this was an allusion to the unchanging now, called the tree of life, where death is impossible. Again, he cautioned his disciples, say not, there are 4 months to harvest, for the fields are already white to harvest. In other words, lay down your false concepts of mortal time. Pick up your immortal identity in the now that is not influenced by changes in the false now of passing time. In the exciting age of spiritual truth now dawning, in human consciousness, men will no longer bury their lives in mortal time. God will speak through them in the present tense, as God speaks through Christ Jesus. Have you noticed how Jesus speaks in the present tense? Before Abraham was, I am. All that I have is thine. I am the way. I and the Father are one. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My kingdom is come. When man stops waiting for Christ to come tomorrow and realizes that Christ already is the invisible, eternal self of all men now, we will stop living, aging, and dying in fragments of passing time. Our yesterdays and tomorrows will come alive in the eternal now. The now power of omnipresent Christhood will reveal the ever-presence of eternal life. For all enlightened sons of God, the universal mask of passing time will no longer conceal the infallible truth that I can never leave you or forsake you, because I am the life, the self, and the spirit of you now. We remain in time when we remain in a corporeal body. Outside time, you are not in a corporeal body, and outside a corporeal body, you are not in time. Let us for a moment step out of this world of climate, of scenery, of health and of sickness, of wealth and of poverty. Let us step out of time by stepping out of the human form. Do this now. Do it often. You will find outside human form there is a freedom that no words can quite describe adequately. Rest quietly in the knowledge that you are unlimited in time and space. We may come back to this incorporeal meditation and elaborate on it. It was to prepare you for a decision. Because sooner or later, whoever aspires to eternal life must face an unusual decision. And that decision is this. You will have to eliminate all contradictions in your life. For example, you cannot live in time and be perfect as your father. Do you see that? How can you fulfill God's request to be perfect while you live in time? Nor can you live in time and experience eternal life. You cannot live in time and be complete. So when you accepted time as a fact of life, though you knew it not, you rejected the allness of God and the will of God. And you exposed yourself to all forms of disease, disaster, discord, deterioration, and destruction, because these things exist in the mortal time that you accepted. Again, one of the most overlooked achievements of Christ Jesus is that he rescued mankind from the graveyard of time. Follow me, he said. But he was saying, follow me outside time, into your timeless self. This was a message of eternal freedom. Outside time, he was whole. Not a house divided into three parts of time. Not living as a vulnerable mortal fragment under the false powers of good and evil. Outside time, he revealed that death cannot occur. He expressed his immortal secret in the words, Before Abraham was, I am. Understood correctly, he was saying, I am immortal. I do not live in time. Like God, I have no beginning, and I have no end. I am now alive in all life, and beside me there is no other. I am not in passing moments, but in the never-passing, eternal now. For I am the timeless Son of the timeless Self of the timeless universe. That's only one decision. There's still another. All high initiates along the path are required to make this decision too. I think Joel speaks of it. It is on page 81 as follows. It is one thing for me to acknowledge that the Christ is incarnate in you, and for you to acknowledge that the Christ is incarnate in me. It is quite another thing to reach the place of realizing that there is no you, and there is no me. There is only Christhood. This is one of the most painful steps before we reach the promised land. Oh, does that shake you up a little bit? It must have shaken people up when they heard Jesus say, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." But he also said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And then he capped it all with that glorious, revealing statement, "I and the Father are one." And he didn't mean temporarily. I, Christ, the immortal Christ of all men, and the Father are one. And so I say to you, the omnipresence of Christ I Am, accepted in your consciousness, practiced as your identity and as your way of life, is the Christ mind in action. This is Christ consciousness. This is the kingdom of God within you. And in that kingdom there is no time. Omnipresence I Am, understood and followed, breaks the time bubble. In your Christhood, there is no two-ness. God is all. God lives in eternity. Son, thou art ever with me. Christ lives in eternity. Where is time for God and for Christ? And when you live in omnipresent Christ, I Am, where is time for you? You can't be both omnipresent Christ, I Am, and live in time. Omnipresent I Am is the only Son of God, indivisible from God, and reveals that man in time can never be one with God in eternity. When you listen to this tape again, go back to that sentence again and again and again and again. Man in time can never be one with God in eternity. Omnipresence is timeless. The realization of omnipresence eliminates dying mortality. Do you hear that? Eliminates dying mortality. We finally feel the undivided oneness of spirit. And the belief in time is lifted as a cloud. Objective time is no more. Just as our five senses had deceived us, so had our sense of time. We had been mistaking our own time sense for time. We never associated the passage of minutes, hours, days, and years with our mortal sense as time sense. But suddenly, as we transcend mortality, what man has called time for centuries is revealed as nothing more than mortal time sense. In your out-of-the-body experience, of omnipresence in eternity, you may feel, glimpse, touch the eternal now and automatically know the nothingness of time in the mortal world. Very high meditation that the beloved John heard the voice of Christ proclaim, there should be time no longer. He preserved this as the will of God in chapter 10 of Revelation, verse 6. There should be time no longer. And the same John, in his Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33, recorded this statement by Christ. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now please understand, because Christ has already overcome the world, the realization of your immortal Christhood automatically overcomes the world. Is that too big for you to handle? It shouldn't be. You are ready to handle everything. The realization of your immortal Christhood solves every problem. And because the elimination of time from your consciousness moves you into a higher realization of immortality, we must now concentrate on practical methods to overcome our time sense and to avoid the traps of time that lead us to death. In this sacred work, be assured that you are not depending only on your human intellect or your human reasoning power. In fact, the less you depend on them, the better. Before you ask, I shall answer. So let your faith rest in the wisdom of your soul as you accept the omnipresence of your immortal self now. Joel puts it this way, page 74. As long as we are consciously one with the Father, living in a receptivity to the spiritual impulse, we have nothing to fear. This is living in omnipresence with no personal will, knowing infinity is performing its plan. Accepting oneself in the universe, made of indestructible spirit, is the nucleus for immortal living. This is the launching pad for transcending time. Seeing the one immortal I am, where separate mortals appear, converts images and time to the one timeless self. Independent of the illusion and of the fears that time generates, knowing one immortal life, where the world sees many mortal lives, makes time ridiculous. One immortal life does not have a separate death date for each individual. Separate death dates occur only in the time illusion. There are no death dates for Christ. And when the world wakes up, it will discover there was never a birth date for the Christ who said, before Abraham was, I am. Spirit is never born. Mortal flesh can never be one with spirit. Your spiritual identity, the spiritual identity of your fellow man, is a reality outside time. Now are we the sons of God. But flesh seems to be now. And so you must study that very carefully until the passing now is understood as a counterfeit of eternity. And the fleshly images in passing time lose their false sense of validity. What will happen, Joel asks, page 86, when the world awakens to the fact that the Christ is incarnate in all men, rather than only in Jesus, and not only in good men, but also in all sinners, that God's reign falls on the just and on the unjust, that God is incarnate in man and is manifest as man. It is his life in us which bears fruit richly as the health of our body, mind, home, business, or profession. I had hoped to have a meditation in transfiguration out of time. I'm going to ask you to take that home with you as an assignment. To transfigure out of time, begin with stepping out of your body, and then as Jesus expanded to the horizon, see the light of your being expanding and expanding and expanding. See your consciousness expanding to accept the light that already is everywhere. And when you feel the everywhereness of your light, realize that in the infinity of your light, only now exists as a permanent dispensation. Please make that your meditation frequently during this month or the 2 months that follow, and let's switch to that as a meditation on Saturdays and Sundays. Every Saturday and Sunday, let's have two types of meditations. You can switch on Saturday or Sunday, whichever you wish to use. The time is 2 p.m. California time. And the meditation is one out of body, transfiguring out of form into formlessness. That's the meditation. And the second meditation is after transfiguring out of form into formlessness, to transfigure out of time into timelessness. You're pretty much on your own here, except for the spirit that indwells you, leading you and guiding you into it. If you will do that, you will be preparing yourself for the greatest event of your life, breaking the time barrier. And when you break that time barrier, you will discover that oneness isn't something you have to work at the way you've been working. Oneness is the fact, but oneness is only in now. It is not in time. So include that in your Saturday and Sunday meditations, and I would, if I were you, include it in my daily discipline. I would live outside the body for at least 10 or 15 minutes every day. This will open your soul activity. It'll take you out of time and space. It will deepen your understanding of spirit. It will release your fears and anxieties. It will invite spirit to manifest harmony. And it will bring you into conscious oneness with the entire spiritual universe. regularly, you should check yourself to be sure that you are in conscious oneness with God. The checkpoints are many, and they're subtle. Are you living your life humanly, or are you living God life? You better find out. Do you accept the contents of time as reality? If so, you have broken oneness with God, because God does not live in time. Is your body in time? If so, your body will die in time. You better find your eternal body outside time. It is the only body you have, and it is the only body that will live as long as God. This might be called a prelude to living behind the mask. You are getting prepared to live there, in yourself, in the now. Let us hold infinite oneness in consciousness. Let us stand in the timeless now. As we turn to New Jerusalem, the holy city of oneness.